Well, thank you for having me. It's good to be here. I was trying to remember the last time I was here sharing worship with you. I think it was many years ago. But thank you for having me. It is a pleasure. As was mentioned, I pastor a small Christian Reformed church plant in Fairhaven in Bellingham. And we are a church that meets on Wednesday evenings, actually. And we start every gathering with a shared meal. And then the grown-ups and the kids separate into their different programs. The kids are part of the Young Children in Worship curriculum, if you know that one, through our denomination. And then the grown-ups, we focus our study time on one of the five discipleship marks that we found from Acts chapter 2. We're a small relational group that's focused on loving Christ and loving others. And God has used our little congregation to send people out to new mission fields as well as bless folks who come through our doors. I wanted to share a couple statements from folks who come to the table. This was from one. She said, "In the beginning, before I came to Bellingham, I was a lost and wandering soul, hurting from an abusive marriage. When I found the table, I was welcomed by a church that, it seemed to me, was like how the original apostles used to hold church. That is, gathering together for an evening meal, followed by an inspiring and thought-provoking message. It was community. It was the love of God one to another. It was serving others in creative ways. It was just what I needed, the balm of Jesus' love for my heart and a chance to pass it on." I love that. We commissioned that gal several years ago to go work with refugees and immigrants and another ministry, and she's since returned. Here's another testimony from the table. "The table truly is a missional faith community. We are a group of people on mission together for Jesus to the unreached communities of Whatcom County. Pastor Aaron and Kate are a constant source of encouragement, prayer, and guidance. They lead by example in every aspect of Christian faith. My husband and I have been so blessed to be a part of the table. We have grown leaps and bounds in our faith, been challenged to examine our presumptions, and been encouraged to take bigger steps towards Jesus." And that couple has now discerned a call to full-time ministry, and they're waiting for a call. So it's cool to see what God is doing around you when you take a few steps back and look at the big picture. And we're encouraged by it. And yet, at the table, we're also in a season of challenges. As I may have mentioned in a prayer letter you have read, we are outnumbered every week by kids. And that's a good problem. But the grown-ups have formed a tight alliance against them, just in case. No, I'm teasing. But we serve busy families who are often coming from very interesting situations. And so the growth of our kids' ministry has not been matched by the growth of volunteers. And so we're praying in this season that God would bring a couple more part-time workers to help in our kids' ministry. It's also been a season of financial challenges for the table. We serve on a mission field where folks are either unable to give or are new enough in their faith where that's just not a practice yet. And so this summer, in fact, we are wondering if we could pay the minimal expenses to an already very trimmed budget. And so you could say we're in a very uncertain season where God is moving greatly in the lives of those around us, and yet we have some real needs. And so it's churches like Anacortes who bless churches like ours through their classical giving and through their independent giving and definitely through their prayers. And so I'm here this morning to say thank you. Thank you for the ways you support, the way you pray with us. And I invite you to continue to pray with us as we step into this uncertainty as a team together. Uncertainty is an uncertain thing. Sounds like a lame statement, but it's true. The table has some uncertainty now, but I think we all do. In fact, if I was to ask you as a person about uncertainty, I'm curious what would come to your mind. What in your experiences today, what are the unknowns in your life that are nagging at you, that are weighing upon you? Uncertainty does something to us. It does something to our hearts. Uncertainty can isolate us. It makes us feel like we're all alone makes it feel like it's all up to us. Uncertainty also causes us to doubt, causes us to wonder if we ever had things figured out, makes us wonder how we're going to make things go. And so as you think about your own unknowns, I'm curious if you would agree. Does uncertainty cause us to feel alone and have us feeling doubtful? Well, whether you agree with that or not, I want us to keep those thoughts in mind as we look to Mark chapter 5, verse 21. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 21. There's a lot of uncertainty going on in this passage. And we forget that as modern readers of the text. We forget that that we have the advantage of knowing the end of the story before we even begin reading it. Do you ever wish you knew the end of your story at times before you move forward? I certainly do. But when we as modern readers read narrative text from Scripture, sometimes we forget that these are human stories. These are human problems. These are certified and authentic things going on in Scripture. And Mark 5:21 finds real people. It finds Jesus arriving in a community. He is swarmed by people probably wanting to see him, probably hoping to see him do some cool miracle or trick. And Jesus is met by Jairus. Jairus is the local synagogue ruler who asks Jesus to come and heal his very sick daughter. Being a synagogue ruler, Jairus was a highly respected guy in town. He was in charge of maintaining order in the synagogue. He was in charge of maintaining the traditions within the synagogue and conducting worship. But Jairus was also a father. Jairus was also a very desperate father. His daughter was dying, and Jesus was his last hope. And so there's a lot of uncertainty in this text for Jairus. He probably felt alone, and he was probably doubting all the decisions he had made before. And so, as we read this text, I want you to give yourself permission to feel perhaps what Jairus was feeling here. So Mark 5:21 says this. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jairus was doubtful. Jairus was uncertain. And yet, look at verse 24. It says, so Jesus went with him. In spite of his uncertainties, in spite of his doubts and his feelings of isolation, Jesus went with him. And so with Jesus at his heels, the crowd is probably getting a little excited. Maybe they might see something great that Jesus might do. And Jairus' heart might have begun to feel a bit encouraged at this moment. That is, at least until this respected synagogue ruler was interrupted by this disrespected woman in the text. Verse 24 continues. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And so you can bet your money that this gal had some uncertainty in her life. You can bet that she felt isolated because of her condition and the social norms around it. You can bet that she had her own doubts about all the medical decisions she made that didn't quite work out. But she approached Jesus with great, great faith. Verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And so this is great for this woman. This is probably one of the greatest moments of her life. It's really a fantastic thing for her. But how do you suppose Jairus was feeling in this moment? I wonder if he wished he would have shown up a little earlier so they could have avoided this gal on the way. I wonder if he was doubting whether or not he should have hurried Jesus along a little quicker when this lady approached. Because in verse 35 it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Well, that was it. That was the news Jairus never wanted to hear. That's the news that maybe some of us have heard here. If the feelings and effects of uncertainty are present, they're especially present in moments like these. Feelings of isolation, feelings of being alone in a crowd, feelings of doubt, wondering what could have been done, wondering where God is in the midst of it all. They said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" But you notice that Jesus doesn't pay attention to their words. Verse 36 says, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And so in the face of uncertainty, in the face of shock, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." In the midst of uncertainty, Jesus was with Jairus. Jesus confronts those feelings of isolation. Jesus confronts those feelings of doubt. And so what do you suppose Jairus was feeling at these words from Christ? Think about it. His people he trusted from his house had just arrived, people he knew and entrusted things with, and they said, "Your daughter's dead." And yet, the man he's putting his hope in tells him just to believe. So I think at this point, maybe Jairus wasn't leading Jesus anymore to his house. I think Jesus was leading Jairus to Jairus' house. Verse 37, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And so again, you wonder what Jairus and now his wife, who was on the scene, were feeling. It must have been a dizzying, disoriented feeling. And it continues, after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went into where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. I wonder if that's possible, but. And he told them to give her something to eat. Now I can only imagine the feeling of Jairus as he saw his dead daughter come to life. He must have been dumbfounded. I don't know what better word to say. It must have been flabbergasting for him. The feelings of isolation would have been replaced by all the shared hugs and shared tears of joy. The feelings of doubt would have been replaced by this some spontaneous celebration that certainly happened. The good news I see from the text is clear, that in the midst of uncertainty, Jesus is with us. In the midst of uncertainty, Jesus is with us. And yet, that's certainly not how it feels sometimes. Am I right? It's not how it feels when we're in the midst of struggling through uncertain situations. It's easy to disconnect ourselves from Jairus because we already knew how his story ended before we even started. We don't know the ending of our uncertainty. All we know in the midst of isolation and doubt are those feelings that pent up in our stomach. I'm curious if that's how you're feeling this morning as you consider the unknowns in your life. That's how my wife Kate and I were feeling about 12 years ago. I had finished seminary and Kate was pregnant with our first child. We were unemployed and waiting to see what God had in store for us. And so we were living with her folks in South Dakota and waiting for our baby to be born around Christmas time. And so we were two adults with two master's degrees, pregnant, living with our parents, and unemployed. You could say we were living the American dream. And so we decided to have Thanksgiving together with my parents in Colorado, and so we drove down to their place from South Dakota. My folks were moving into a new home, and we wanted to help. And so the last night that I slept in my house that I grew up in, I was reading this very passage in bed next to my very pregnant wife. And as I read these words of Jesus to Jairus, I stopped and pointed them out to Kate. And I said, these are good words for us. We're in the midst of this uncertainty, and it's good to remember not to fear, but to have trust. And so we said a little prayer, and we turned out the lights. And then 20 minutes later, Kate's water broke. And we were 8 hours from our doctor, 8 hours from our daughter's car seat, 8 hours from her cute little PJs and her crib and everything. And so we called the doctor in South Dakota and said, well, should we make a run for it? Should we drive to South Dakota? And he said, no, wisely. He said, no, you're going to have this baby tonight. You need to go to the hospital. And so long story short, our daughter Montana was born 4 hours later, but 5 weeks early, and she was heavily jaundiced. And after two nights in the hospital, they said, you can go home now. And we said, where? Where are we going to go? At this point, my parents were in between their homes. Kate's parents' house was 8 hours away, and we didn't even have a car seat. So how do you suppose we were feeling in that moment? Curious if you can relate to that. Why do we call the good news good news? We were alone, we were full of doubts, and Jesus said to us, don't be afraid, just believe. The good news is good news because it's good news. The good news is that in the midst of uncertainty, Jesus is with us. And so the words of Christ would be our anchor in the days and months to come. His words would encourage us as we spent our first night out of the hospital with my grandma, which was cool. His words ministered to us as we drove home 5 days later through a Wyoming wind and snowstorm back to South Dakota. Jesus' words held us as we held each other crying at times in the midst of it all. Don't be afraid, just believe. And so, I don't know what's going on with you these days. I don't know what comes to mind for you when I ask you about uncertainty and the unknowns. What's causing you to feel isolated and doubtful? The good news in the midst of it all is that Jesus is with you. Jesus is with us. The good news is that you are not alone. The good news is that there is hope in Christ. And so my prayer for you is that he would show himself to you in the midst of uncertainty. My prayer for all of us is that we would feel that we are known and not alone, and that Christ is with us. That's my prayer for us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there are many people in this room and many relationships attached to this room. And there are many, many more situations that we don't know about. But Lord, you know them. You know them better than we do. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so, Christ, we ask that in the midst of our uncertainty, that you would do what you do, that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit, that you would rescue us, that you would give us the anchor of hope that is in you. And so we commit ourselves to you. We commit these situations to you and ask for your grace. Ask for your revelation. Ask for eyes to see how you are moving. And so, Spirit, fill us, encourage us, prompt us to praise you. And may we never feel absent. May we feel your presence with us. And so, Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.